Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Wait a second. Are you really early?
Yes.
You motherfucker.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I was the first one up.
I know. And well, Glenn was here first, but he's in the green room.
In the Showtime thing, I was here first.
Yeah, because he can't jump into Showtime.
Well, that's his problem, doesn't
it? What's your problem?
It sounds like something he needs to discuss with his doctor.
No.
Well, if he's having issues jumping, probably talk to his physical therapist.
I don't know if you can move him in. I'll do it. I want to see if someone else has the power to move people from the green room into Showtime. But I don't know if you could do that on your phone. So.
I don't either.
I'll just pull them in here. Hi, Glenn.
Greetings.
How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Doing good.
Sounds like we have a connection this time.
Yeah. Are you on your phone or what are you on?
No. At least I shouldn't be. Let me double check that to make sure, but I believe I should be going through a pretty fancy mic and sound system here.
We might have your webcam.
Yeah, and the webcam. Yeah.
I think we have your webcam audio.
Oh, that's silly. Let's see if we can fix that.
I was going to say, you sound like you're on the space station.
Oh, see, that's probably not too far off. I was working with the Luna. See what I did there? All right, let's keep going.
We can kick him off, right?
Yeah, no, he totally should, too. He totally should, but it's, we'll make it work here. Edit. Okay, there's my accounts. There's all of the things. Devices. Like, we don't care about any of this stuff. We need to go into the part where user settings. Here we are. Where is it? Here we go. Voice and video. All right, there we go. Input device. Let's change it to this and see if you stop hearing me when I do this.
Check 1, 2.
Oh, wow.
Nice, sound way better. Yeah.
Wow.
That does sound professional, actually.
M7B microphone. I'm a big fan.
Significant difference.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, yeah, when both Joe and I are like, oh, hi.
All right. My cams should be on now as well.
Oh, I do see a sexy face.
Uh-oh. That must be Joe.
I feel bad because you don't need it. Like, I'm the only face on the stream, unfortunately.
I mean, I'll turn it off. That's fine.
If you want to show people what you look like in the chat, I mean,
I've now seen what Glenn looks like. I'm aroused. It's a little too late.
Yeah. I just got to make sure I have all my notes because it's an interesting premise to me because I was going to say I can still, I guess, save this for the show itself. But the trick is, like, the big question is, who is this device for? And I kind of hope that I'm able to answer that.
Well, we shall find out. Chris is here.
Hey there, Chris.
I think. He's muted, but he's here.
Can you hear me?
Yay.
There you are.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yay.
Woo.
Woo. I legit have no clue who all is showing up tonight. I really don't. We're waiting for Purnell. I know that. Purnell and Adam.
Wait, so you're saying I could have skipped?
No, you have to be here, but I don't know.
No, I don't.
I don't know if Brooke is going to be here, and I don't know if Tim is going to be here.
No.
And Aki might show up because she just shows up sometimes.
Yeah, stop acting like it's random. She shows up if Brooke shows up.
I didn't say she shows up randomly. I said she shows up sometimes. I didn't want to specify which times, because that might be considered evidence.
You guys can see this, though, too, right?
Yes.
Like, this is a fun little device that they sent, though, that connects to the controller.
I can barely see it, but...
Yeah, okay. So it's like that. So you have the controller, and it's... attach that to the controller, and then you attach your phone to that, and it's like, voila, mobile gaming device.
Nice.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I threw you on stream, Glenn, so people could see you now.
Uh-oh.
So people could see the cool device you're showing off.
Oh, see, well, I'll show it off here again. Let me actually pull it up with the actual Amazon Luna app here.
But, there's Brooke.
Yay, we have a Brooke.
What up, y'all? Someone's coming. Interesting.
Glenn, this is Brooke. Brooke, this is Glenn.
Hi there, Brooke.
Brooke?
She might be dealing with Bun Bun.
Maybe. Nice. Hear that, or everybody is going to have audio issues today.
Way of the beast sometimes.
I usually don't.
You.
Hey, Purnell.
Oh my God, someone asked he's using a camera. We got a new
All right, I think everyone's here. Mr. Adam, how are you doing?
Good.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
There are a lot of people here. Way more than usual. Is something going on?
Reviews.
Oh, just this many people? Wow.
Yeah, we have guests. The
podcast is blowing up, baby.
Good old Big Adam from MagFest Charity and Glenn Case from Glenn Case.
Oh, I know Adam.
What up, Purnell?
Not too much, not too much. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good, my guy. Long time no talk.
Yeah.
Keeping up with people, sorry.
No, I haven't made it very easy lately either, so don't feel too bad. I got to stay in my little bubble with my Garbage Pail Kids and my Switch.
Hey, that's fair.
Garbage Pail Kids and here? Switch.
That's right. Garbage Pail Kid Go on Vacation just came out, and I got to get them. Or rather, I got them. So they ain't cheap either. Damn, things are expensive. They're like 50, 60 bucks a box now, and they make so many that you can't even get a full set in one box like you could as a kid. So they got you chasing shit at Target. People on the internet buying crates for like $2,000 because they're crazy.
Wow. Are the classic 1980s ones just completely astronomical in price by now?
That's the funny part. I don't think they really are. Like, if you go to like price charting books and stuff, they'll say like series one is worth like thousands of dollars. Or it'll be those websites that'll say all those things you liked in the 90s are now worth so much money. But in fact, everywhere I tend to go and hear people talking about, they don't sell for that much. Now, with that said, if you go to Frank and Sons in Southern California to buy packs of Garbage Pail Kids from them, you will probably pay like $25 a pack. But I'm not doing that.
Shit. No, I hear that.
Well, yeah. I mean, book value is always different than actual street value. I mean, just ask me how much my like near complete run of Alpha Flight is worth. You know.
Okay, first of all, what is Alpha Flight?
Alpha Flight's a Canadian X-Men. Easiest way to describe them, but like it ran for like 8 years. I have almost the entire run. According to price guides, each issue is worth minimum $5. I picked up nearly most of the run for about 20, so that each? Tells you about no.
Oh.
no, $20 for like the near complete run, like, so that tells you how much those fucking things move.
Well, and like the classic thing that I ended up, hearing about, like the old school Star Wars ones that are worth so much money, is because back then people didn't know that there would be a collector's market, so no one kept everything in boxes. But once people realized, oh, there's a collector's market, people have kept all of these things unsealed, like from like the, you know, other stuff that's come along, and those are largely worth nothing. Because people knew to keep the boxes.
Well, that's the saddest part. Before there was a collector's market, I kept boxes for my Nintendo and video games just because I thought it was cool to keep old art. And then my dad came along one day and said, "What the hell are you doing all your old boxes?" I was like, "Dad, I like my Game Boy box. They look awesome." And he goes, "Nobody gives a shit about those boxes. Just throw them out." But I like my boxes, Dad. And they take up space, too. Get them out of here. So I had to throw all of them away.
Millions of dollars gone.
That made me so sad. I was like, would I ever sell them? Who knows? Did I want those boxes anyway? You goddamn right I did. And it felt great to have them. Now they're gone. But you know, I digress. Oh no, still feeling pretty good. Still feeling pretty good. So
I guess this is just the show now. I guess we started already. I don't know. I'm gonna edit it.
I was waiting for you to ask how was y'all days and weeks and months, and then we never got there because I was saying hi to Adam. You know, we were all meeting everybody in the chat collectively.
And then you went on a tangent.
Hey, the tangent was related to the dialogue. It didn't just fall out of a tree. It was there.
Brooke, how are you doing? Is your mic working?
Yep.
Yay.
I got to meet Brooke, actually. You know that mess?
Ooh,
dude, after a year and a half. Yeah, a year and a half of this shit.
Nah,
it was so cool.
I was really happy to, too. Though, there are some hilarious stories that could come out of this, too, which I was like, this would be worth talking about on the show. Some good old hilarities.
Well, Brooke, how about you tell us a fun story?
About Pernell coming over?
Yeah.
Well, he beat my partner at board games and everyone else's house, and somehow he was allowed to live and remains unknown to everyone, and he'd never played the game before. So actually, the main that I'm here tonight, I still let Pernell know, hey, we're still cool, man. You know, we're still just as much friends as, if not more. No, we had a great time. It was honestly like the highlight of like the last 2 months for me. It's super cool to meet you, IRL, man. What a trip.
And it actually made me happy too, because I was actually legitimately worried. So I'm assuming you're okay with me telling this story. I got a funny story to tell about the trip.
Oh, absolutely. Go right ahead.
So I was out west for the first time in the region that Brooke lives in for the very first time. I had never been in that area of the U.S. before. And I was there for a friend's wedding. While, you know, hanging out, the first night I was there, a friend of mine apparently discovered that you can get, like, edibles mail ordered to you. Like, not mail order, but just delivered to your home like fucking
pizza.
Yeah. So I'm like, wait a minute. So he basically got edibles sent to the house so he could sleep better. And he goes, hey, Pernell, would you like to try one of these? May help you sleep tonight. And the only time I've ever had an edible was here locally. And I was like, this doesn't do anything. What is the deal with these things? I don't see the big deal. So I was like, you know, sure, I'll take one. We'll see what happens. And nothing happened. I'm like, there you go. These things don't do anything. That's two times in a row. So fast forward about a day or two, and I go to visit Brooke and her partner. And we're hanging out. They're being fantastic, gracious hosts. And as such, they go, hey, we got some vapes. We got some edibles. If you want to, you're down to partake, you're welcome to. And at first I was like, man, they don't really do anything for me. But then I was like, you know, I'm with friends. I'm hanging out, meeting people for the first time. Yeah, give me one. And her partner starts to go, well, be careful. These are pretty strong. You might want to take half of one. And my brain's
famous
like, man.
Famous last words.
They don't do anything to me. I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
Five.
Yeah, and that's why I thought, like, yeah, I'm 6'5", big whoop, I'll be fine. So,
oh, Pernell.
Oh, it was funny. It was funny, but also it made me a little sad, but I'm glad Brooke was like, no, you're good, because my brain was saying everything but. So I took the edible, and what I started to notice is while we were playing this board game, it was a pretty tactical board game, too. I started to trail a little bit. Like, my mind was like, okay, I guess this is a good decision to make. I'll do that. And her partner's really good at games, okay? He's good at games. He's also very talkative. Now, the reason why that's a factor here is because, have you ever played a game with somebody and they kind of tell you what they're going to do, or they kind of give you unsolicited advice on what you could do? So,
oh my God.
In my mind, I hope he listens to this. It's like when I'm listening to this, I'm like, okay, the first few rounds, I'm like, yeah, he's teaching us the game. He's being cool about it. I appreciate it because I don't know what I'm doing. But as the game started to progress and likely the weed kicking in, I started to think, is he thought injecting me? Is he subjecting me to what he wants me to do so that I do it? And he basically plays against the strength. I can't do that. So every time he told me a strategy, I double thought the strategy was like, can I do this without him being able to counter it in any way? Because he's trying to thought inject me. And I'm sitting here looking at it. I'm studying the board. I'm studying my friend who's also there with us. And I'm making these choices. But the whole time I'm like, so what CCG were you good at again? I know you said you were good at CTGs, and he saw his name. I'm like, I knew it. You're good at injecting thoughts. I'm using the wrong words, I'm sure, but you're doing that thing with the mind. And I'm
not fucking with it. He's saying this stuff out loud. He's vocalizing these thoughts, and we think he's joking, and we're just laughing our eyes. He's like, oh, Master Manipulator over here. We're like, LOL. And I've never hung out with Brunel in person, so I have no idea that these are true, like, real thoughts he's having.
But that's the funny. That's the funniest part of all. In a sense, I would think stuff like that, but I was, like, more aggressive about the thought, like, no, this is really happening. You're doing it. You're doing it. So I'm, like, making my moves. And then another thing that happened was I had come up with an idea to kind of block him off from getting a good point load, but it required me to do a very specific set of actions every round. So I was good for about a turn or two. And then you walked over and was like, hey, check out the buddy. Hold the buddy. I was like, oh, the buddy is adorable. Let me hold the buddy. Oh God, I
forgot about this. It was a distraction.
So I'm holding the buddy. And then when I let the buddy go, I completely botched what I was supposed to be doing for the turn. And of course, he jumped on that. It was like, got it. And I was like, you set me up, didn't you? She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, he texted you or something. You came over with the rabbit face. Sure. God, he's stupid. And then Brooke was like, yeah, he texted me to let me know. She was joking, but I was like, you're serious. I knew you were doing this.
And I think he's just playing along. The whole time I'm like, we have this cool dead man rapport going of what's definitely not happening. It's amazing. So I have no idea.
But that's what's amazing about this. Like, it got to a point where I did start thinking, this has to be the weed. And I'll tell you the part where I knew it had to be the weed. And you're going to love this part. So, Brooke brought out, she kicked ass in the kitchen. She had a friend visiting, and she baked good shit, really good shit. And they ordered a really great Szechuan meal, so we were able to eat well before the game. It was great. It was great. But here's where it gets funny. So, the food comes over, right? She has the baked goods. She's ready to serve them. She's like, here you go. Here's the plates. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, yeah, I can't wait to eat these things. But then I'm not hungry, and I don't know why. And I'm also feeling lightheaded. And I was like, I've been drugged. Why? We're such good friends. Why would they drug me? Wait a minute. I ate an edible, didn't I? Oh, shit.
I drugged myself. This is the first time I'm hearing this part of the story.
Yeah, that's why I thought you'd get a chuckle out of it, because I was like, I drugged myself. This is wild. Okay, this is weird, but I can do this. I can do this. So you might have noticed how I was like kind of picking at it and trying to eat it, but I was like full from the Szechuan, plus the weed was kicking in, so I'm not sure if that was affecting my appetite too, but I was so sad. Wow. And I was like, I want to eat more, but I can't. They're so good, and I can't eat. And then I was like, did I shit? No, I didn't. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Nope, didn't do that. Man. Didn't have to go. No, I didn't.
No. I know exactly that feeling, unfortunately. I know exactly what you're talking about. That happened to me with a bunch of buddies in Salvia. I farted, I seriously thought I shat myself. And there I am, high as hell, trying to figure out how the hell I could check my pants without making it too obvious.
This is relatable.
Nailed it. That's exactly what I did. Brooke might remember how I went to the bathroom once, came out being like, yeah, I'm good. And then like 2 minutes, I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom again while we were hugging goodbye in bed. And so I was like, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, I know I didn't, but my brain's telling me to just be sure. Everything needs to be double, triple sure. So when we leave the house, I get in the car with the friend I rode over with. And he's like, are you okay, man? I was like, are you okay, man? I'm just, you had fun, right? He was like, no, I had fun. And he was like, are you okay? Oh my God, it's hitting you, isn't it? And I was like, well, I would like to assume that's the happenings here. That's what's going on. Right. Yes. And the rest of that time we went right to the airport. And he was, and up until we had to split off, he was in stitches because at one point we got on the tram and he was like, okay, the tram goes for a loop, Pernell. So it's going to loop. We go two stops and then you get off. And at the very next stop, I knew I was getting off at the wrong stop and I was getting back on. But I started to get off the wrong stop. He was like, what are you doing? Come back. You get off at the wrong stop. And he was like, oh my God, you are so high. You don't even know where you are right now. I was like, that's not true. That is not true. This is a tram. This tram is moving.
Like, I was Joe, like, you're recording this, right?
This is
you're recording.
Oh, this is all the show. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank God. Please continue for now.
Because this is, to me, I just find it hilarious. Like, I just thought it was a funny day. So, like, we get to the airport after the tram ride and everything, And we're at different terminals. And as you know, in, you know, New Age airport travel, you can't even cross the goddamn stream. So it's like, once we had to go through our gates, that was it. We didn't even get to go to, like, to hang out at the airport until it was time to go. So for some reason, I felt especially sad about it. I was like, but we could, you know, play cards or something in the lobby. We could sit on the floor and play cards. I don't know. You don't have to go. And he's like, well, I want to go wait at the gate and get something to eat. I was like, I get that, but it's me, isn't it? You just don't want to hang out with me anymore.
He's like, oh, how shitty would it be if I was just like, no, I'm not recording any of this. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Plan.
That's the half, but like
now we're starting.
I was fine with it either way. But I just thought it was overall the end of the story was that it ended up being a lot of fun.
You had
but
a good started, trip.
It was a that's it was not, something.
That's not the end of the story though, because then Purnell called me, so I had no idea he hadn't been joking this entire time, all these hours. So he gets to the airport. I see I'm getting a call from Purnell. And I try to pick it up, and I can't hear it. So like, I hang up, like, hey, dude, I tried to pick up your call. What's up? He's like, oh, I'll call right back. I had a question for you. And I pick up the phone. He's like, hey, man, I'm so sorry if I was weird. Did I fuck everything up? Like, what's... I was like, oh, no, baby. Purnell, no. No, it's fine. Like, no, that's the weed. Like, this is the paranoia. Dude, thought you were joking. We're over here talking about how we want to get together with you in December or something. Like, we're all in, man. You're like, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh my God, all right, later.
We need to get everyone to MAGFest.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm talking about for now.
That's
yes, what
I was like, I really want to meet everybody.
Yes.
Big but Adam, even if we just- Big Adam, what do you think of Purnell's first weed experience?
First off, I'll be notifying the authorities immediately on all this marijuana talk. This right here, this is a sham. This right here is all crazy talk, if you ask me. No, excuse me.
Gotta clear my throat from this non-paraphernalia that I'm coughing on.
I couldn't begin to understand what you're referring to.
That was hilarious.
Well, the very end of the story is, as soon as I got off the phone with you, I texted Joe, and I was like, laugh my ass off. Joe, you'll be so proud I got Purnell high today. And you were like, that's amazing. We were kind of talking about, I was like, oh, I'm going to join. I was like, I don't have a review tonight, but I want to join and like let Purnell know we're still cool. LOL, nah, just kidding. And then I was like, nah, I would never out Purnell on the show because I would never, like, you know, he lives in a different state than me or whatever. And then as soon as Purnell started telling the story, I'm texting Joe like this. I'm like, oh my God, Joe, he's doing it. It's happening. I'm fucking dead right now.
He's doing and it that's himself.
The story. Well, the thing, like, I'm not ashamed or anything like that. And
it's so just a
beautiful story. I love it. Everyone, I like, my first weed experience, I swear to God, my cat Bean knew what I was doing. Like, she was sitting, like, she never does this. She was sitting on the one, like, the one little ottoman next to us, and she was just staring at me. And she just had this look on her face of, like, what are you doing? Daddy, what's wrong with you? What's going on? Why are you acting weird? She knew. She fucking knew something was up.
Why are you sinning, Dad?
Oh, man. Anyone else have any weed stories to tell, or should we get to reviews?
I think all I have to contribute is a title. You should call it SM Edible.
SM Edible.
Ooh.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, my God. That's really good. Very on brand, too.
I was actually thinking Over the Moon because it ties in with our first review.
Okay, well, whatever.
But well, SM Edible is a good one, too.
I just wanted to, you know, hear your lovely voices. And I heard we had some cool guests tonight. I want to come say hi.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us, Brooke.
It was fun to hang out.
Purnell, you're good people, man. I don't care what they say about you behind your back.
What are they saying about me? What are they saying about me?
We talk a lot of shit. A lot.
No, I'm a big Purnell fan over here. I'll just say my parting words are, just remember what my custom emote is called with my face in the SML Twitch chat. It's spoiler alert, it's Purnell fan 420. And I'll leave you with that thought.
Making me cry over here.
Bye, Brooke.
Good night, you guys. Have fun. I'll listen to your recording later. Bye.
See ya.
All right, so we ready for reviews? Glenn, you ready to start off?
Yeah, let's go ahead and roll.
All right, first item to talk about tonight is the Amazon Luna. The Luna controller runs $69.99 on Amazon.com. Comfortable design precision controls. Luna controller is designed for comfort with an offset thumbstick and easy access bumpers. Precise triggers, four responsive action buttons, and four-way directional pad keeps your gameplay on point. There is also the Amazon Luna service, which runs $9.99 a month. Luna Plus gives you access to a growing collection of games from across genres. Action, adventure, platformer, indie, shooter, RPG, classics, and more. You can also play select Ubisoft PC games you already own from the cloud without the wait time. Glenn, tell us about your time with the Amazon Luna.
You covered a lot of it. I would say, first of all, that yes, the controller is, in fact, pretty damn comfortable. And right now, I think it's on sale for $50.
Ooh.
So now is not a terrible time for it. And they will sometimes end up, putting together, things where you can get a controller with a Fire Stick that will work, or with a tablet, like they'll do those things. So I would imagine, especially when you get to like an Amazon Prime Day, you'd probably be able to get one of these for a steal when that ends up happening. But to me, the first thing about this though, is who is the Amazon Luna for? And I have opinions on it, but I don't think there is a particularly easy answer to that question, but I do hope to answer that question by the time we're done here.
All right. Do you want to start with the service or with the controller?
Well, it's kind of goes hand in hand is the thing, because you can use the service, but when we're talking about the service specifically, it is, like you say, $9.99 per month for the Amazon Luna portion of it, but they also have other services like the Ubisoft one, which is $17.99 per month, which, if you ask me, is horrendously overpriced. There are only 42 games that you're getting for that $17.99 per month, and when you put that head-to-head against, like, Amazon or the Xbox Game Pass, you are not getting very good value for your money on that at all. You're getting the Assassin's Creed games, Watch Dogs, and Far Cry, with like Scott Pilgrim and Uno thrown in at a cost that is more expensive than Game Pass. So, like, I would say the Ubisoft portion, not really worth it. The main one for $9.99 per month, I counted 115 games on there, and it is a decent spread. You've got some arcade games, you got RPGs, racing games, puzzle. You know, in fact, I was looking to compare, would there be a lot of crossover with Game Pass? And some examples of ones that I saw that are not on Game Pass, you had Control. Was one of them that was on there that's not currently on Game Pass, the Ultimate Edition of Control, Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3. But then with like Game Pass, you've got Forza Horizon 4, Forza Horizon 5, and like over 300 games. It really is, you know, a no-brainer that Game Pass has got more going on with that.
Yeah.
And so
something I did notice that Luna has over Game Pass is it has NIS support. It has like Trails from Zero. It's got some decent RPGs from NIS, and I think that's, you know, Xbox doesn't have those. So.
No, certainly not. And actually, I'd say the sleeper on this is the Jackbox subscription. They've got a Jackbox subscription for $5 per month where you get all of the Jackbox games.
Ooh.
Even the brand new ones. And if you look at $5 per month versus the cost of just buying the newest Jackbox for like $30, that particular, if you're going to do a Luna thing, that is a no-brainer. And from what I can tell, you don't even have to have the Luna controller to use the service. You can use your phone as a controller. So trying it out is really not even the worst bit of it.
Yeah.
But what I find especially interesting, genuinely, is if you look at any classic gaming system that has been successful, there's always going to be a killer app on there that you cannot play anywhere else, a must-play game that you cannot play anywhere else. And Luna is clearly not going for that market because, from what I can tell, there are no exclusives. All of these ones that you can end up getting, you know, you're going to be able to play it on other services. But if you're looking at $50 for a controller, if you get it on sale, and $10 per month, that is, for someone, if you've already got good internet, that's not the worst for someone who's on a budget, especially.
Yeah.
Like $10 a month or $5 a month for the Jackbox portion of that. your main thing would be you would need fast internet. As long as you've got fast internet, then you've got that part of it covered. One other downside is you have to have devices that are going to work with the Luna. I have a fancy new LG TV that we have in our living room, and right now LG doesn't have an app for the Luna currently. Samsung does, and I have a couple of Samsung TVs. I could try it on there. It was fine. There wasn't really any lag to speak of. And what I'll say for people who, if they don't have a game system, and they're just like a casual gamer, I handed it to my wife. They have this plastic device. What do they call it here? I've got the box right here. It's called the Dainsleif, which attaches your controller, and then you can put your phone on the controller, and it's like a little mobile gaming system at that point. Mm. I handed that to my wife, and she was trying Tetris Effect on it, and she said, "You made a mistake with that, because now I don't know that I want to give it back." She was having a lot of fun, and she's not a particularly a gamer, but she loves Tetris. So she had a lot of fun with it. My friend Duke came over and he tried it. He's a little more of a gamer. He had a reasonable amount of fun for it. So ultimately, yeah, and someone in the chat there, Ricky Kiki Taco, saying, "So like a Switch, but not as good." Well, you know, that's not completely unfair, because on a Switch you'd have like the Legend of Zelda games and a lot more, you know, options. But if I want to see this succeed ultimately, because I feel like the more things that are out there, that's more competition, and a good, healthy competition will keep the other consoles and every, services on their toes. And Amazon clearly has deep pockets. I don't see this necessarily going away anytime soon. But even if it did, the controller itself is comfortable. It's got a USB thing and could probably be set up to work with emulators or like Steam or that sort of thing. And then it's not necessary. You're not out the money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, if that could be used as a PC controller, that'd be really nice. So the controller at $70, what are your official thoughts on it? Is that something that people should look into picking up, or should they use a cheaper controller? Should they get their own controller? What should they do?
I'd say ultimately this is a try it, and it's especially a try it if you can get it on sale. Then that's an even better way to go. You know,
cool. And the service.
Yeah, the service itself is also a try it, you know. It's not going to be for everybody, because if you've already, like in my case, I have pretty much all of the game systems. There's not going to be much on this that I don't already have available to me on other consoles. But for someone who maybe is on a budget, if you look at the cost of even like the cheapest Xbox One, and if you add that up with like the cost of games or Game Pass and everything, I think you can get in as a budget gamer. You can end up getting in for a significantly cheaper price. And then just if you're not using it enough, then you can always cancel your subscription.
Yeah. And they, again, they do have a solid lineup of what's there. It's not the biggest library, but it seems like they have a really good varied library, and I'm seeing stuff like Sonic Team Racing is on there.
Yes.
Mega Man is on there. Capcom Arcade Stadium is on there.
Yes. And all of like with the Capcom portion of it, it seems like all of the games are unlocked too. So it's not like if I buy it on Steam, I've got to buy the pack separately. Yeah. No, it's already all there, which is pretty cool.
All right.
Yeah. No, I don't hate it. I think that it's a nice little service, and especially for people who are on a budget who aren't especially interested in purchasing a next generation gaming system, this will give people kicks for a somewhat reasonable price.
And did you have any issues with like latency while you were playing, or like lag, streaming issues?
Only a couple of times, but again, I've also got a pretty fast, internet connection because I work from home.
Mm.
And my wife works from home, and my niece works from home. We have three people working from home, so that was kind of a given that we had to have pretty fast internet.
Yeah.
And another thing about the service is it's not much different than the Game Pass, where you will have titles that leave and other ones that come in. Three of them that I tried that I was not particularly impressed with are ones that have left now. Because you had Tempest, Crystal Castles, and Pong. Those are classic arcade games that are fairly fun if you have the right controller. And that, like, playing Pong with something that's shaped like a modern controller, it's not a dial. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't play well. Crystal Castles, it's supposed to have a trackball. It doesn't play the same. Tempest, it's supposed to be a dial. Doesn't play the same. So that was going to be one of my gripes about that is, like, you know, if you're going to play a classic game like that, you kind of need the controls to be right. But those aren't even available to play now anyway.
All right. Well, it sounds like you had a pretty good time overall with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Price versus value, and especially if you can get it on sale, yeah. You could do worse. Although I think a lot of your listeners probably already have the gaming systems, so a key part would be to make sure that there are games available on the service that you specifically want to play and that you don't have already.
Yeah, like I'm somewhat interested in it just for the NIS RPGs.
Yeah, absolutely. You could do worse than the $10
a month is cheaper than buying them at $40-$50 a pop.
Seriously. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was the other downside. I was really hoping to try this with a tablet, but it turns out my tablet that I have a Fire tablet that is one generation too old. And so I can't even use it on that. That's another thing you got to watch out for, is to make sure that the devices that you have can even do it.
Gotcha. All right. Sounds good, Glenn. I guess that's it for you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me. And
thank you so much for coming on and chatting about the Luna with us. Do you have any other thoughts about it or any other?
Wait. Before any changes, because I don't want to just bounce away, I wanted to say, while your camera was up, you have a fantastic game library on your shelf back there. It should be acknowledged.
Yes. Yeah. No, I've been collecting for a number of years. I remember when you could go to a pawn shop and get Contra for the NES for $10. You go back to that same pawn shop, it's $40-$50 now.
Yeah.
Those were the days indeed. Like, it's one of those, like, it feels great when you already own the product, but when you're trying to play catch up, oof.
Yeah. That part's the worst, because, yeah, I think a lot of these places didn't know what they had at the time, too, so you could actually get something for pennies on the dollar. I don't know that I'd have the game, and you're only seeing part of it. Like, there's PlayStation ones, and I've got a pretty ridiculous collection over the years, but a lot of it is because I didn't have to pay top dollar for it at the time.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Absolutely.
Well, anyone have any other questions for Glenn?
Yeah, I'll gladly answer them. No, that's fair.
Silence. Crickets. No one. Oh, you have legendary musician Glenn Case with us, and no one wants to say shit.
I don't know what to ask.
No, that's fair.
If you could be any instrument as a sentient being, what would it be?
I'd go with a bass on that, because it's the one I'm most I'm most comfortable playing bass, so it would only make sense that if I'm writing songs, especially, the bass part often comes first.
Like a bass guitar or a stand-up bass, like the big ones?
I'd probably go electric bass, where it's not the stand-up. I don't own a stand-up, so it'd be fun to try a stand-up.
They're too hard.
That is a quality answer right there.
There we go. All right, Glenn, thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
I'm trying to think of what it is on Ice Cube's album. His last words were, "Fuck all y'all."
Oh, come on. But we're such a good friends. We're good friends.
No, it's just the words that came to my mind. It doesn't mean I mean it.
No, I hear that. He means it.
Like, have a good one. I'm going to tweak it now. His immortal words, "Love all y'all."
There you go. I like that. I like that better. Love all y'all.
Hey, now we're talking.
Have a good one.
Take it easy.
Have a good night.
All right, next up is Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game 6, developed and published by Milestone, released March 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. Mud, sweat, adrenaline, and fun, all the best the motocross and dirt bike world has to offer, awaits you in the new Monster Energy Supercross 6. Adam, tell us about your time with Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game 6.
Oh, yeah, it's time to get vroom vroom up in this piece.
It all is.
So
even better, it's with someone who actually plays racing games, and we're not struggling with it.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. I love racing games. They're the best. Supercross 6 is a big step up from Supercross 5.
A lot of the third-person animations are a hell of a lot more fluid. The writing just looks more human and a lot less robotic. You do see the same kind of like boosty jump kind of physics assist thing, but that's not too detrimental, or it doesn't look too cartoony in this game. It basically just ensures that the flow, you don't basically just get lost in the sauce if you mess up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
quick update. It's $49.99 on PC, not $59.99. I had my pricing messed up. That PC discount.
Yeah, PC discount. Let's go. So the it's funny that one of their taglines mentions mud, because one of the notes that I have for this game is the mud physics is actually really workable in this game. It feels saucy. It doesn't feel like ice, if that makes any kind of sense. I'm sure to the racing game friends out there, like, you'll understand what I mean. Like, your control ends up feeling mushy. It doesn't feel like you're on a sheet of ice, which is fantastic. It took them like 4 iterations to get that back. The weird thing about this game is it starts out with a lot of assists already on, and like including a throttle assist, which really tripped me out, and I had to turn off immediately, because I would let go of the throttle and the bike is still revving, and I'm like, that's nope.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was super weird, and I could not get used to that. It's basically the game was playing itself. Like, it was just not great. So once I got that turned off and kind of fine-tuned the controls a little bit and, like, you know, got things a little more comfortable.
Question.
Yeah, sure.
When you said it was pretty much running itself, like the car, or sorry, the bike, do you mean like it was essentially just driving around the track by itself?
Yep.
How was it doing?
Not very well.
Okay. All right. just out of curiosity, because I'm, you know, like, the Paw Patrol game, like, has an auto race thing on it. And I'm just like, maybe I should have gone back to the series. Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Nah, it's it doesn't do well at all, unfortunately. Let's see here. The career progression is pretty great. It goes through and it allows you to pick. You can either do short races, which are basically 5 minutes plus 2 laps, which is normal for, you know, or I should say it's a third of what a normal race would be. And then the semi-pro was, what was it? It was the same thing, 5 minutes plus 2 laps, but you had to do qualifying. And if you, you know, didn't do well in qualifying, you had a chance for last chance qualifiers. And then you had to do the heat race, and then you had to do the main event. And then professional simulation is everything. You got to qualify in a real amount of time. You have to do a real amount of heat racing, which is usually for heat races, 5 minutes plus 2 laps. And then you have to do the main event, which is usually 15 minutes plus 3 laps. So it's just a lot more gameplay. And then there's 17 weeks in a season, which is normal. That's, you know, normal Supercross. But some of those events are what are called Triple Crown, which means if you're in like a 250 class, which is like the beginner kind of first round of Supercross, you have to, in some cases, race twice because you're racing the East and the West. So there's just a lot more riding and it takes a lot longer to get through. I ended up doing the short race for everything because I kind of wanted to progress through and unlock bikes and kind of get through stuff. And like I had a really good time with it. I won the privateers, which is the very first section you go through, the futures, which are basically all what are called privateers, which are people that don't have sponsors. They're paying their own way. They're buying their own pit spots. You know, they're funding everything themselves without a sponsor. And then typically from futures, you usually get signed with a company or like a manufacturer, and you ride in the 250 class. And then, you know, assuming you do really well in the 250 class, they want to get you to go on the kind of like the big deal, the main event kind of thing. They put you on the 450 class. And that's the big boys. That's the pro circuit. That's as big as it gets for racing, at least. And those bikes are a lot of fun. The other cool thing is, while most, or really all, professional supercross racing now is done on four-stroke machines, a lot of people still out there who ride motocross or ride dirt bikes still have a lot of love for the zingy two-stroke boys, and this game does not leave them out. You can customize your rider, and you can buy two-stroke bikes, you can buy four-stroke bikes. You can customize them with all different kinds of IRL manufacturer parts that all increase stats on bars, so you can see what's happening. You're not completely in the dark here if you don't actually buy the parts. But like the fact that like, because I have not raced like that, but like I have ridden a lot of dirt bikes in my time. I've owned a lot of dirt bikes in my time. And I recognize all the part names, like all the gear, all the brands, all the companies. It's all there, and it's just really cool. And it's more customization to the bikes than I've seen or that I've really messed with in the Supercross series before. So that was really cool to dig into and like tweak colors and choose the livery and like, you know, pick out the gear that I always wish I could have afforded, and like the fancy helmets and the, all the cool goggles with the foil finish and all that stuff.
Nice.
All my bike. I have like a garage of bikes now that are all tricked out. It's awesome.
Jacob, did you ever have a bike growing up?
Yeah. Why? I had a Huffy.
No, like a, what? You're an idiot.
You asked me if I had a bike, dickweed.
I mean, true. That is
okay.
That was the question.
That's on me. That's on. I know you brag a lot about being really good at two strokes. So,
was that seriously the point of you asking that question?
Yes.
Go to hell, Joe.
Is the customization all cosmetic, or can you build up the bikes? No, you build up the bikes. The parts do things. They improve the performance, they improve the handling, they improve the speed or the overall power, the torque, everything. It's pretty wild. It's kind of like think customization from Need for Speed Underground 1 and 2. It's like on that level. It's pretty rad.
Nice.
And you can like customize your helmets like to the point where like it's like the reels, the old school sticker editors where you could make like whatever you want as long as you have patience. You can do that to bike helmets, and then you can upload them to the internet. And then there's a goofy little rating system, and people can download them, and it shows you how many people have downloaded and the most downloaded and yada, yada, yada.
How many inappropriate ones did you see?
None actually yet. Wow. At least. But the game's only been on the market for 5 days. Okay. True. So let's give it time. We all know the dick helmet's coming, okay? We all know. It will happen.
He's a little high on this one.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's coming.
I also played online for a bit. Joe watched me. I got trashed. No, I couldn't just, not even remotely. I have gotten a little bit better since Joe has seen me play. But I'm also jumping online against people that have been playing 6 iterations straight of this game.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit behind. I did play 5, but I didn't play any of 5 online. So I am like literally at this point just getting smoked. And a lot of it is actually just really memorizing the tracks and really being able to, because like with a dirt bike, you got to be able to slow down and turn way ahead of where you think you're going to need to, because you have to be able to shift your momentum in a different direction. So like you got to take all that kind of stuff into an account. The cool thing is, and I found this out actually yesterday, I was kind of playing it a little too simmy. If you play this game like a straight up arcade game, and kind of just mess with the shocks a little bit and the rider weight a little bit, you can actually go a lot faster than if you try to play it like an actual simulator, which is cool to know now. Kind of a bummer because I enjoy simulator racers, but for now that my brain is shifted into this is an arcade racer, play it like an arcade racer, I'm actually having a lot more fun with it, just because I'm in a different mindset going into it. Overall, I'd say this game absolutely slaps. If you're a fan of racers or dirt bikes in general, there's a ton of content in this game. There is, not only is there all 17 official Supercross tracks for 2023, there is also, I think, 16 milestone tracks, which are all made by the studio themselves.
Ooh.
And then there's an open world area called the Supercross Park, which has like 14 different areas that is open world. And you can just go in there, ride around, find something new, find the starting line of that course wherever you may be. And there's like a time trial flag and then a just like start exhibition race flag. And you just ride up to that little zone and stop there. And a little meter fills up and it does whatever action you want. You race that track and it dumps you right back out there into the open world. It's pretty wild. There's a lot of voiceover work done by an absolute real life legend in motocross or supercross and motocross. Really. He's the king of dirt bikes for a reason. He's Jeremy McGrath. Even if you haven't ridden, you've probably heard that name before.
I used to follow him when I was a kid, like, holy crap.
He does voiceover work for this game, and he is not a voice actor. I'll very politely leave it at that.
Okay. But he's tried really hard.
The man's a legend. He won Supercross titles like 9 years in a row, literally. He is an absolute beast on a bike. Can't voice act worth a shit.
Thought you were leaving it at that.
Nope.
I thought you were leaving it at that.
Nope. Decided to take the dive, Purnell.
That was worth it.
Oh, Jesus. It sounds like overall you really enjoyed the game. It's sitting at $50 on PC, $60 on console. What are you thinking of everything?
I think it's, in my opinion, if you're a fan of racing games, it's worth $50. It's a great play. Has a pretty good online community, so there's a lot of replay value. And just farting around with the customization, trying out new bikes, and trying out new combos of stuff. If you like racing games, it's great. I'd say go for it.
Cool. All right, well, Adam, that is it for you.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's been a fantastical delight.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. You'll have to come back on next week, maybe?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. That works.
That 2 weeks. So sarcastic.
Yeah, it's almost like this is a planned return.
It is.
Back in 2 weeks.
I will be back.
That's ominous.
Yeah.
Popcorn?
With more racing games.
Oh, that vroom vroom. Vroom.
Hashtag vroom vroom in the chat, please.
You got that vroom vroom vroom.
Drop your vroom vrooms in the chat, yo. Drop your vroom vrooms.
All right, guys. It's been crazy fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Carnage. You dropped the vroom vroom.
See you next time, buddy.
Later. Take it easy, Big Adam.
Later, y'all.
See you, buddy.
All right. Next game to talk about is Tiny Troopers Global Ops, developed by Epiphany Games, published by Wired Productions, released March 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Attention, Tiny Troopers Global Ops is a fast-paced arcade twin-stick shooter in which you lead an elite squad of Tiny Troopers on action-packed missions to take down hordes of unscrupulous enemies from all corners of the world. I think we all played this one at least a little bit. Jacob, why don't you start off? What is Tiny Troopers Global Ops?
So it is pretty much like it's a shoot 'em up, except it's featuring like this little squad of like soldiers who talk like as though they've got a crippling helium addiction. You just pretty much move throughout the level. Like there's stuff you can pick up that'll either help your score, but there's also like dog tags, and like sometimes there's like optional side missions. You can pick up stuff where like gas cans or like passes to get through like secret doors and all that kind of stuff. And so in it, obviously you have to get from point A to point B, and after each mission is over, or if you die during it, which I did quite a few times, you can upgrade your character, well, the character themselves, their weapons, you can buy cosmetics and stuff like that. And yeah, it's like, it is like, it feels like a pretty deceptively simple game, but honestly, like, I kept going back to the levels over and over again because I wanted to get my guy, like, you know, get the health super up as much as I can. Just, yeah, and so I'm just like going through and just like mowing everybody down with a pistol. and yeah, it was just like, it's okay. I don't know. Was this a mobile game first?
I don't think this game was. I think this game was okay. Built ground up for consoles. It does have the whole online. It has cross play with it. Purnell, you and I tested that before the show, and it worked fairly okay. We had a crash the first time, but second time around, it worked pretty smooth.
Yeah, the first time, I didn't even realize, because I was kind of like just waiting for the game to give me some kind of a sign. But after the match was set to start, but what ended up happening was the game's technically supposed to count down once the host player starts the mission. And then once it hits zero, it just auto drops you in. A lot of games play it in that manner. But in the case of our first attempted session, it counted down to zero and then nothing happened. It just kind of had Joe's character as being located in a place on the board that I couldn't actually reach, like just off into the black murky abyss, and I couldn't access or do anything, so I was just like stuck waiting. We had to reset and come back in, but the second time it worked like a charm, and we played for a few missions.
Chris, what did you think of it?
I like it. I think, hang on, am I making sounds?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, you are.
We hear you.
I like it, and actually, as somebody who also speaks like he has a crippling helium addiction, I relate to the characters a little bit.
You felt represented?
Yeah. One of their... I did kind of like the gag where they're introducing themselves and, like, they, you know, one of them's like, my name is Soup. It's because I like soup. We don't need to get too deep. Or just, I don't know. It's kind of goofy. And definitely, they really sounded like they wanted to get, like, John Cleese from the 80s to do that,
Oh, the commander.
Yeah.
I do got to say, though, that I'm glad you brought up that specific moment in the game, because I actually had to stop to take a photo and send it to my friend, because the guy that says that, I guess from a video game perspective, doesn't look too far off from me with his way he cut his hair and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Also, my nickname is Soup because I like soup. So I was like, well, here's my video game kindred spirit right the fuck here. He's got my name. He's got my interest in soup. We look alike. I'm done. That's
Chris,
it.
What's your food nickname?
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
Guess not.
I was called Fry Guy in elementary school because I, like, the one lunch period, I went through 9 servings of fries.
Holy shit.
Wasn't it because you resembled the McDonald's characters in any way at the time?
No, I just ate a shitload of fries the one day in elementary school.
I was going to say, have you seen Joe's hair? like, he doesn't have Fry Guy hair.
Nah.
I will say, though,
I had great hair.
Those grade school fries were freaking delicious, though, so I can't knock it.
Yeah, so I'm Fry Guy. We got soup, sausage fingers over here.
Yeah, but that's only on the Outright Games.
Whatever, Discord. Sausage. Anyway, well,
what,
Tiny
what
Troopers.
What is your favorite food, Chris?
Yeah, what?
So, I guess that's a tangent, but now I'm like, what is your favorite food? Because maybe that could just be your nickname.
I'm a balding grimace.
If your favorite food is dry fried green tomatoes, this is a good time to lie. Lie!
Yeah, yeah. No.
She's like, no.
You're being called out that you're called ham?
Specifically by my girlfriend, yes.
So.
Ooh!
Well, we can't use it, but it does exist, so we can still refer to it as that.
If you like. So
why are you called ham?
There's no reason. It's random. I don't even like ham.
I mean, you could have just been like, because I go hard as a motherfucker. No.
It, nah.
Nah.
It's like, I swear like that.
it's just kind of like one of those it's a name of a food that works well in jokes and stuff. That's it.
Catherine says it's because you're funny.
Oh, that's a lie.
I don't know. She would know better than any of us. So I'm giving it to Christian. I'm giving it to her. You're a funny guy. You're ham. It works.
Anyway, Tiny Troopers. What the Tiny Troopers? Who has stuff to say about Tiny Troopers?
I like that character named Ham. He makes me feel great. No, I'm gonna stop. The one gripe I have about the game, for what I could tell, and I'm sure it was intentional because I mean you can literally upgrade the stat, is that the movement of the characters is like annoyingly slow. Annoying for me is it? Well, you can upgrade to eventually reach the point where you walk faster, and I ignored every other upgrade you could possibly buy just to level up my character enough to meet the ranking required to be able to get speed or movement upgrades. So it is that annoying. I would not be averse to them making you start out at least a little faster and then let you upgrade to become even faster than that, because you need to move quicker, goddammit.
Yeah, the game needs to be about 50 to 70% faster, in my opinion, because that not only makes for more fun twin stick shooting, but it just, you know, the game itself is kind of like feels like it should be like that. It's like the biggest thing that keeps killing me is that enemies can throw grenades really fast and you have to roll out of the range, but your character doesn't respond fast enough or roll far enough to like really make that like a thing. So you just kind of have to do other methods of crowd control. Like you can't really dodge around for any reason.
And I'm not gonna lie, the camera also has a tendency of sucking at its placement at the worst possible time.
Oh yeah,
like there'll be enemies like down a hill, you can't even see them, like they're not even on your screen, but they're shooting at you with amazing accuracy.
They'll be coming from where you just came from, and like you can't turn the camera around. You can only turn your character around and just hope that the camera will let you look at the enemy at some point. I wasn't meaning to complain so much, but that's those are things.
Yeah, I do wish the game were a little faster. I also wish online community was there.
Is there a run? Is there a run function? Okay, that's
what I thought. You gotta upgrade your speed.
All you can do is upgrade the speed of your character. That's the closest you got to it.
And you could reduce the cooldown. I wish it had a faster cooldown. I wish the secondary weapon had a faster cooldown, but those are minor gripes. I wish the online player base was there, because when Purnell and I were playing, I checked the public games. There was one.
And it was yours? Or
no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate reality of this stuff, though.
Yeah,
that's the unfortunate reality. Is kind of stuff that, like, no matter what the game developer does, it always hinges on the player base, so they can't control that.
Luckily, the game is still fun single player and locally.
I like Carnage's suggestion. This would be a great game for Game Pass.
I see that being the case of Game Pass, it becomes like one of the many. But at the same time, it'd be easier to convince my friends to play it with me, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
But one thing worth mentioning before we go, I know Joe's like, damn it. But we should mention that in the game proper, the way that combat works, of course, is you take hits until you die. But you have a respawn ability where if an ally is nearby, they can walk up to you, mash the button, and wake you up. But if you're in single player mode, the way they alleviate that is you can get squad mates to join you, and they kind of just follow you around. They dodge when you dodge, shoot when you shoot. And if you go down while they're up, they can revive you. But if they go down and you don't revive them, they stay dead.
Yep.
And you can recruit another guy, which is okay. But the downside is if you spent money to upgrade that character, those upgrades go with it. So even though they're AI character, oh, heck yeah. So they put a bit of emphasis on they basically emphasize that even though they're AI, treat them like humans. If they go down, you can't just ignore them. You got to go pick them up, or you're going to basically lose a lot of investment. No, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that's how it works.
You don't want to let any man left behind.
No. But like, I had a missing where the other person died. It was right as the mission ended. They died. Like, we were both low on health. They died. I lived. And like, there was literally nothing I could have done about it. And
just like,
so
if you were playing with a human.
Well, it's just like, what, like, I don't know. I just felt like I got punished for bullshit on that. But thankfully, that character died before I figured out that you could upgrade like attributes on your squad mates. So thankfully, like, I hadn't spent anything on them. But it's like,
well, keep in mind, that's all that boils down to. Then, like, if a player hears what we're saying and they decide, like you just said, oh hell no, I'm not going to run the risk of a guy dying and losing my investments, but they don't upgrade a guy. Though, you'll be missing out on having a support that can actually pull their own weight. But also worth noting, though, at least from what I could tell, maybe it's different for the later upgrades, but at least the early and mid upgrades, you get a fair amount of experience on missions. So
yeah,
it wasn't really a hard decision just to go dump, 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 dump. Okay, my guy is functional now. Yeah, he's not top tier, but he's functional.
Experience and upgrade points so quick in the game that I don't think it's a big deal that you lose progress if your squad mate dies. I don't think that's a big deal. But the game's sitting at $20. What does everyone think about it?
I'm okay with it as a buy.
I'm going to try it.
I'd put it as a try it as well. More so, like, wait for a sale. But, you know, my wonderful little variation on it. But I didn't think it was a bad game. I just didn't think it was particularly memorable. And, like, there were enough hiccups that I was just like, I probably would have skipped this if, like, I hadn't gotten a review copy. Also, I do want to say the tutorial achievement still has yet to pop for me, even though I've now completed the tutorial 4 times.
Wow. I'll get good.
No, I did.
I know. It's a joke. It's a joke, you dumbass.
You're a dumbass.
I will say, I didn't really get a chance to, but I just wanted to say that, like, I like that you can adjust the difficulty per stage, and that you don't.
Yes.
It's not one of those where you're locked out of doing like hard mode if you didn't complete the last stage on hard mode kind of thing. I like that.
In addition to that, you get rewarded for it too. So if you're like, okay, I'm doing this on normal, got my bonus, and now I'm gonna come back doing a hard, you get more experience for doing it on the harder difficulty. So it incentivizes you to try to get bored, go harder on it, but if you just want to progress, you can bring it down to just kind of breeze up to the harder missions too.
Yeah.
Carnage is saying that I'm doing this, like, I'm doing it wrong. There's people in HQ you're supposed to be talking to, not just completing the tutorial, which, again, that's bullshit if you're just going to say complete the tutorial and then that's not how it actually pops.
Does it, like, say complete the tutorial or complete the tutorial mission?
Let me fucking look. Complete the tutorial, or wait, no, that's Join Ops. Sorry, I was looking at the other one in the series. It's on Xbox. Tutorial. Complete the tutorial.
Not mission. So you got to complete the whole tutorial.
Oh my god! All right, seriously, a reasonable human being would assume that that just means that you have to complete the tutorial mission. Like,
yeah, I wasn't gonna say that because I thought you could just like save face and not acknowledge that on the show. But
okay. No,
I mean, I would just expect the commander to eventually say something akin to "Congratulations on completing the tutorial," which will likely involve him explaining what the elements in the home base are.
Anyway, Jacob and Purnell, that's it for you two. Were you gonna hang around or head out?
Absolutely not.
You know what? Wait, absolutely not. What? I don't know. He gave you choices. Absolutely not.
That's not a workable answer at all.
As for me, I'll stick around. I've never left the show on a Tuesday before it closed, and I'll be damned if I'm doing it now. So let's roll this out.
Cool.
Are you going to stick around or hang out?
Ooh. I'm going to stick around. Or, oh crap, stick around or hang out. I can't decide.
Zip up. Don't hang out. Zip up. Carnage is asking, did we give it an official verdict? Yeah, Purnell, you said buy it, and Chris and Jacob said try it.
Yeah, one buy, two tries.
Yeah, I could go with a buy it as well. So fuck it, I'll even that up.
Two buys, two and two.
Who wants to break the tie? Carnage, what do you think? Rupier says try it, wait for a sale. So there's 3-2. Carnage says buy it, so there's 3-3.
Well, keep one thing worth noting here, but real quick, just for the clarification. This goes across any point I have on this show. When I say buy it for a game, that is generally regardless of the price. What that means that you buy it at the price that makes sense to you, but whatever you choose to pay for it is worth your money. So I'm not saying don't wait for a sale. I'm just saying when it's a price point you think it's good, buy it when you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And I my kind of difference on that, just to calibrate a little bit, is that when I say buy it, I'm not only saying buy it to spend your money on it, but to spend your time on it. Yes. So if I say try it, I mean to say that, you know, check to make sure this is something you're going to want to put some time into first.
No.
And when I say buy it, I just mean fucking buy it, because I'm not going to do a bunch of linguistical syntax gymnastics over the shit.
Wait, you already did.
Tough. I thought you left already.
That was the point of it.
No, syntactical. Ooh, fancy.
Stealth.
This guy went to college or something.
Multiple times.
Okay, so I guess mercy. Jacob's sticking around too.
No, I'm not. Bye.
I've been going to this high school for 7 years. I'm no dummy.
All right, we got to move on. Two more games to talk about. Next one is Mile High Taxi, developed and published by Cassius John Adams, released March 13th on Steam for $17.99. The Fifth Element meets Crazy Taxi, delivers zany passengers while dodging mile-high skyscrapers and blabbermouth pedestrians in a fast-paced race against time. Jacob's probably bummed he left for this one, because this sounds right up his alley. Chris, tell us about Mile High Taxi.
Well, I have to start by saying I've never seen The Fifth Element, so I know that it's flying cars in the city, what we were promised by the Jetsons and whatnot, so I'm going to say it's like the Jetsons and whatever, Crazy Taxi. But here's the thing, as much as I have not seen The Fifth Element, I have played Crazy Taxi. It was one of the three games I owned for the Sega Dreamcast, so I played a crap ton of it. And yeah, I'm happy to say this is a spiritual successor to that same taxi of craziness, and yeah, it's with flying cars. And when I hear a premise like that, I'm like, well, I already know, you know, all I'm doing is checking to see if it delivers on that premise, and that's pretty much all I have to do, you know. But of course, I ended up spending so much time on it, I almost missed the beginning of this show. Because I was still playing it on the other screen, and I had it on full screen because I was just too lazy to switch it to windowed. But anyways, okay, so this is a game. It's fairly simple. It's the future or something, and there's a Mile High City where you are a taxi driver flying around in your flying taxi car. And if you've played Crazy Taxi, you can just skip right to the end because... Yeah, you drive around, there's a timer, the timer goes down, you pick up passengers, the passengers have these beams of light, you know, that you can see from a mile away, so that you know from a distance whether they are going to be a short but cheap trip, a medium trip, or a long but expensive trip. So, you know, red, green, and blue, and, you know, you choose one, you pick them up, they tell you where they want to go, you have your little map, you follow the arrows, and... run into all the other crap, listen to people complain and make references to movies, and drop them off, get your money and your time, and then just keep doing that until you can't do it no more. Yeah, my first trip out, I made like $4,000, which is pretty good. It was about an hour's worth, I'd say.
Oh, wow.
Of playing. Yeah, because it really gets like its hooks into you, because... You know, it's not just driving around a small city, you know, around the Pizza Huts and stuff, listening to Offspring. They got much more generic bands than that. And but you're also,
how is the music?
It's good. It's not bad. There could be more of it, but I would say the same about Crazy Taxi. So
yeah,
exactly. It does have a variety too, and some of it is it's weird, because like it'll give you like an artist and like a song title, but sometimes it'll just say drum and bass. Hmm. Almost as if that's like stuck, because it will like be like a different genre or something, but it'll just say drum and bass.
Like every time I see games like these that have generic soundtracks, I'm like, contact all of my friends, please. Get Stemage in there. Get Viking Guitar in there. Get Mega Beardo in there. Just like get all these awesome guys who do original music, not just video game covers, but they do baller original music. And
here's the thing. I can't track exactly when, but at some point, all the music stopped in my game. And so I was like, oh, okay.
Did it run out?
I don't know if it ran out or if it was like planned or if it was a bug or something. Because yeah, there's a couple little buggeroos here and there. We'll get to those. But anyways, yeah. So like I said, on top of the lack of offspring, this game also offers verticality on top of like flying around buildings and stuff. So not only do you have to find where the person is on the map, you also have to find out how like. What the, you know, like basically you have to stay, at least in the part I played, maybe they expand this at some point, maybe they don't, but you have to stay between 600 and 650 feet, and everybody's got a destination in some 5 foot increment between that. So they'll be like, I need to get to, you know, whatever, you know, Simon and Schuster Street crossover, whatever, on, you know, 625 feet. So, like, and the weird thing is, like, they'll say what, you know, like, you got the map telling you where to go, right? But I could never find anywhere where it actually tells you how high you have to be. Speaking of SM edibles. But no, like, it'll, so you listen, you have to, like, listen to the passengers and remember what they said. So if they're saying, like, 630 feet, you know, you just make sure as you're moving that you're climbing the altitude or dropping the altitude to get to exactly that point. And then, like I said, you find the purple mark and you let them off. And then, like I said, the graphics are very reminiscent of Crazy Taxi, all the way down to the... although the characters are somewhat customizable, the default skin for the default main character is a green haired guy that, you know, an aging punk rocker. And I'm like, oh, OK, so this is, and I think they actually aged him up to 20 years after he was the face of Crazy Taxi. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but his age is listed as 43. So I was like, oh, OK. I don't remember the guy's name, though, so I don't know if it's a direct reference. It's been a while since I've actually played the original game. And you really only have, like, three drivers to choose from, but their cars do have different elements to them. Some turn sharper, some are faster. As you're collecting passengers and dropping them off, if you do a really good job, like I said, it adds to your timer, so of course you can play more. But also sometimes you get to pick up a booster, which will let you drive really, really fast. And, you know, you definitely want to like kind of burn that up, especially on a long trip. But it does make turning a little bit harder. But this game's very forgiving, especially if you lower the difficulty. You can crash into buildings all day. You're never going to hurt anybody or anything. Your passengers are usually like, yeah, do it again. So you end up crashing through a lot of the game, which is kind of fun. And you know, I like little, details, like when you stop to pick up a new passenger, they'll do like a flying jump kick into your cab or they'll like do a backflip into it. Like they just go over the top with a lot of the presentation in this game. It's also filled with like ads that are references to like other sci-fi films and video games. And some are just bizarre and, maybe I don't get them or maybe they're just bizarre, but there's a lot of stuff to like kind of look at cause there's just billboards everywhere. I found the thing really charming, and there's three modes of playing. There's the standard mode, which is what I just described. It's just an arcade game of Crazy Taxi. You just try to make as much money as you can. Then there is a free roam mode where you can just drive around and look at stuff. That's kind of cool that they included that. And then there is they call it a sequence mode where you pick up one passenger, drop them off, get your time bonus, and then pick up the next passenger nearby, and it's just like one passenger at a time, and they say that you can like level up and stuff. That one got a bit hard for me, so I didn't really make it that far into that one, so my apologies, I can't really speak to that one as much, but like I said, it has a couple of little weird buggy things here and there, like you know, like I said, the soundtracks just stopped at one point. I wasn't sure if that was a detail or a bug or a feature. At one point, the when a character was talking, it's like it looked like spreadsheet notes instead of like actual subtitles. It was just like cannot provide translation for customer underscore 6151. And I was like, okay, either that's a joke and I think that's actually kind of funny, or that's not a joke and it's just, you know, somebody accidentally left in placeholder text or something. But these are like minor things. Honestly, the game is really fun. It's fast. It's satisfyingly fast. And yeah, it just keeps you going. Like I said, you can't, you know, it's that crazy taxi formula of like, you just want to keep going because they keep adding, you know, time to your stuff as you, you know, complete, you know, the trips and stuff. It's also a little long in the intro, but you can skip the intro. But yeah, you do have to, like, it does start up the intro every time you start a game, where the dispatcher is talking to you in an elevator, and the gag is that the elevator has like 700 floors on it.
Oh God.
Yeah. And he's just like sitting there, you know, being a, you know, rough and tumble city guy and, you know, just whatever, talking about making money and stuff. And you're just like, I don't care.
Crazy money?
Yeah, exactly. They needed a guy to be like, come on, you ready to make some crazy money?
No.
So, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, the game's sitting at $16.99. It is actually on sale until the 23rd for $14.44. So, what are your thoughts on this game?
I'm going to go ahead and give this one a buy it. It is... You know, like I said, it's a little rough due to being indie, but it is really, really fun. And, you know, it's a very effective spiritual successor to one of the great. I'm not going to say it's an underrated, but it's not as imitated. Right. Like, yeah. How many Crazy Taxi clones have there been? And yeah, not just enough. for the fun factor alone and like just the execution of like. The arcadiness of it all, I say this one is worth it. It's going to be, I think, considered kind of a hidden gem. So I would say go ahead and get on this one because I liked it quite a lot. And anything that I had a problem with is easily fixable. So
nice. Yeah. We should note that it mentions on the Steam page at this time it requires a controller to play. There's no keyboard and mouse support in the game control wise.
Oh God, why would you?
I don't know why you would want to play this with a mouse and keyboard, but there's people who are pissed about it, and I don't understand those people. They have problems. But for a solo dev, I think this one looks like it turned out pretty good, and I want to put my cat's pictures on the city billboards.
Yeah, you know, I usually try not to spend too long talking about solo, and I wasn't sure it was a solo dev. I knew there was like one guy that was more or less behind it, but I never know whether that means small team or just one person. But yeah, as a one person game, hell yeah. Amazing job, dude. Like, I try not to harp on that too much, though, because I don't want to give too many points. You know, if somebody made a thing by themselves, if I like the game, I like the game and I like this game.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got one last game to talk about tonight that is called Pronti, developed by 18 Light Game and Fun Zone Games, published by HappyNet Corporation, released March 7th on the Switch for $14.99. Guide Pronti and its javelin partner Bront as it defends the once great city of Roila. Explore the deep sea, fight mutant sea creatures, and discover the secrets behind this new Atlantis in this beautiful action-packed adventure. Chris, what is Pronti?
Okay, so Pronti is a Swimmelvania.
Swimmelvania.
Yeah.
Sounds so, unique. Which none of the games mentioned tonight, so I figured we had to mention it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, we could burn that on this one.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So this is a game where you play as a kind of an octopus sort of character. Well, you get to choose from two different characters what Pronti's going to look like. I picked the more elaborate kind of octopus for a head sort of kid there. And you know, there's another one that's a lot more of a plain skin. But anyways, yeah, so this game kind of drops you off at the tutorial, and as soon as the tutorial is done and you're about to start the second tutorial, a disaster strikes and you are thrust into action. So you kind of have to, that's their way of saying you're going to learn along the way in this one. So basically, yes, it is technically a exploration action, whatever you want to call it. Metroidvania is another good one I hear is popular. It's a little more linear than that, but I mean, you know, one can accuse some of the Metroid and Castlevania games of being a little bit linear, so I'm not going to fault it for that. However, like I said, the difference with this one is that you have two elements that you don't usually see in this subgenre, and that is totally free movement, so no double jumps. You can just swim anywhere because it is underwater. The entire game is underwater. The other thing is that it has a kind of twin stick shooter style of playing, but it's a little bit different even than that. So your partner in the game is Bront, a swordfish that is made of metal, which as a Darius fan, that speaks to me because I like, you know, I like metal robot space fish.
I should have read the store page, the game system, unique javelin combat systems. It was there.
It was there. Well,
better luck next time.
You had a good
it was good intentions. Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. You had a good sense of it.
Yeah.
You knew that that's what they were going for. So yeah, your unique javelin mechanics are such, you know, an enemy is coming at you. You aim the thing at them if you want to, and you push the shoulder button to send the fish after them to swordfish them to death. As it is a swordfish, it is going to swim, you know, at them and then kind of circle around them and slash them and stuff until they're dead. You're not doing any direct damage to the enemy with this guy, and oftentimes you're kind of waiting. So a lot of it is the twin stickiness of it is that you're trying to get away from other enemies while your swordfish is taking care of them one at a time. Of course, as you go through the game, there are upgrades to everything. There's even like kind of a skill tree going on. There's collectibles that do different things. And there's just at a glance here, I'm seeing about 40 something of them. And as you progress in the game as well, like the slots that you can put these powers into grow. So there's like up to 10 of those slots. So like 40 power-ups across 10 slots. There's, you know, as I didn't get all the way to the end of this game, obviously, but clearly there's some room to really mix things up. But as it goes, you're basically swimming around and trying to avoid enemies while your swordfish takes them out. Eventually, like I said, you do start getting new moves and new things to do that kind of expand on this. Very early in the game, for instance, you get a targeting system that it also combines with an invincible dash system. So basically, if an enemy is coming at you, you can kind of dash through them, which puts a target reticule on them. And then when you send your swordfish after them, it does extra damage, perhaps even like some stun damage or something like that. It becomes a little bit more less about just keeping your distance and more about how can I strategically roll through this guy and then send the fish after him. You do need to incorporate strategies like this because bosses be tough. I think more than any of the Metroids or Castlevanias, this game draws from Hollow Knight, even down to the art style. It's very hand-drawn, but against these really lush backgrounds that look really nice. And being that it's an underwater system that also has, like, you know, this giant underwater city and stuff, it's a very pretty game to look at. I also like that it is very smooth. I do appreciate that. I mean, some of the, you know, sometimes, like, you know, it's not moving at like 60 frames or anything like that, but, you know, it doesn't chug like one of the other games that we were talking about earlier. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I said, it's a little bit linear, and I kind of wish that there was like some kind of like melee weapon or something, like some way for me to like directly engage with scores of fish that have dentures attached to them for some reason. But it's intriguing enough. I would kind of place it in the kind of middle point. I would say if you've maybe played Hollow Knight enough or maybe found it too frustrating, maybe give this one a shot. Because it, like I said, it has that unique presentation. While also feeling pretty familiar to folks who are familiar with this genre. Oh, also the music is really nice. I like the music too a lot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, $15 verdict.
I'm crossing into buy it territory on this one. It's solid enough. I can't really find too much to complain about it. It will be to your taste though. Maybe it's like sushi or something. either you know, if you love it, you love it, but you know, maybe it's not for you, I don't know. But no, I think that this one does stand up on its own in a genre that is well represented on the Switch. One could say, the fact that they've provided two things that I've not seen yet in any of the others is a pretty good testament to its quality, and that it does them both well. So I like it.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. That is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Congratulations, everybody. We did it.
Yes, we did.
Congratulations.
Music. How about we go with something by Blind? I got a track here. Where to go? Called So High from Super Mario Kart. So you can see what the theme is this episode.
Oh, mercy. We didn't forget about that at all, did we?
Hell no. does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Keep reaching for the stars. Stay high. Go fly.
High and dry.
That's right.
Y'all better be keeping up this energy for our April 20th show.
Just don't let it jeopardize your employment.
There's going to be no energy for the April 20th show. Actually, do we have a show on the 20th this year?
It's the Thursday.
There is one on the 20th. Yay.
Oh, yay. Shit.
That's going to be a fun show.
Wait, I do have one more thing before we close it.
Okay.
Tim wasn't here to do it, so I have to do it. Chris, have you played Labyrinth of Refrain, Coven of Dusk?
Ah, that's a great call out, Purnell, because I do own that and I haven't played it yet. And I bought the sequel, so... Excellent call out on that. I think it's already on the list, but I'm going to double add it to the list.
Tell you something. I played pretty far into it back in the day, and as you know, got shelved because everything gets shelved. Yeah. So for my last trip, this trip I just went on, I had a lot of time in the airport. So I played a lot of Labyrinth of Refrain, and nice. The story gets really fucking good. Like, it's good.
I would not expect a great story out of a dungeon crawler. I mean, I love dungeon crawlers, but normally not because of the stories.
Yeah, this is definitely a situation where I said it in my reviews, and I felt so I knew it even before I got to this point, but it's worth saying now again, this game bucks a lot of trends that dungeon crawlers generally abide by, and I say that in mostly a good way. So I say it's a great time.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you for that, because, yeah, I definitely, I bought it for a reason. I definitely want to play it, and like I said, I got the sequel now, so it's starting to stack.
And my suggestion is 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
I don't have that one, and it's expensive now, right?
I think it might come down to what system you play it on. Xbox, I know, is expensive because you could play it on Series X and Xbox One.
Well, that would be expensive for me since I don't own a Series X.
Yeah,
it was on PlayStation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was a multi-platform.
I only knew it as an Xbox game.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You think Fitty would go so cheap as it? Let me stop. I mean,
I definitely passed it up for like, you know, $7 or $8 at some point because, you know, Xbox games used to be nothing.
Yeah, well, that happens.
Well, thank you for that suggestion.
Final words for this episode. How the fuck did we go an hour and a half with 5 reviews?
Fun, that's how.
It's like we were inhibited somehow.
Tangents, that's how.
Tangents.